19. And this morning we're going to start verse 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Now, just a brief reminder of what the Proverbs have to say. What are the Proverbs? This is a statement by Matthew Henry. I've read this to you before, but it is very useful to have before our eyes as we look at the Proverbs. And as we have no book so useful to us in our devotions as David's Psalms, so have we none so serviceable to us for the right ordering of our conversations as Solomon's Proverbs, which, as David says of the commandments, are exceeding broad, containing in a little compass a complete body of divine ethics, politics, and economics, exposing every vice, recommending every virtue, and suggesting rules for the government of ourselves in every relation and condition and every turn of conversation. So as we are looking at the Proverbs, this is what the Proverbs are. The Proverbs is going to expose our sins to us. You want to talk about politics? It's going to be in the Proverbs how we are to deal with these things. Divine ethics, how we are to be ethical. Economics, recommending every virtue, and suggesting rules for the government, not of our nation, but of ourselves, that is in relationship to every situation that you can imagine. And every turn of conversation, everything that we speak, how we speak, the manner we speak, when we speak, where we speak. It's all to be found in the Proverbs. And now we come to verse 27, and we find, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. We'll entitle this message, Covetousness versus Contentment. Covetousness versus Contentment. First of all, this morning we read in the Ten Commandments, the Tenth Commandment, Exodus 20:17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And then that word can be inserted with the rest of this laundry list here. Thou shalt not covet his manservant, thou shalt not covet his maidservant, thou shalt not covet his ox, thou shalt not covet his ass, thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. This is one of the Ten Commandments. Let's take a look at what the larger catechism says concerning the Tenth Commandment. And that's found in question 147. What are the duties required? First of all, what are the duties required in the Tenth Commandment? The answer is, the duties required in the Tenth Commandment are such a full contentment with our own condition and such a charitable frame of the whole soul toward our neighbor, as that all our inward motions and affections touching him tend unto and further all that good which is his. So these are the things that are required. It is a contentment. A contentment with our own condition. That means you in your condition, me in my condition, the person sitting next to you in his condition. And it is to be of a charitable frame of mind. And it is even stated here, a charitable frame of the whole soul toward our neighbor. That is what is required in the 10th commandment. What are the sins forbidden in the 10th commandment? And the answer is, the sins forbidden in the 10th commandment are discontentment with our own estate, envying and grieving at the good of our neighbor, together with all inordinate motions and affections to anything that is his. So on the one hand, it is to be content. On the other hand, it is a discontentment is forbidden. So we are to be content, and discontentment is to be forbidden. Now that's going to creep in to each and every one of our lives, discontentment. We're going to be discontented with this thing. We're going to be discontented with that thing. We're going to think that that our neighbor has more than we do. We're going to wonder why we're working so hard and they're working so little and they have so much more than we do. And these thoughts will enter into our mind and it begins to take us over. And it can be like a disease of the mind. And it's called covetousness. And we are to avoid covetousness at all costs. Number one. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Covetousness in the first place. What an awful stamp God has fixed upon covetousness. There is, right off the bat, we read this morning already, and I've already read it back to you. Exodus 20:17, the last commandment dealing with covetousness, that we are not to covet anything. We're not to covet our neighbor's house. So when we drive down the street, is that a practical thing? Is that something from the Proverbs that is practical, that is teaching us something that we are to practically do? Yes, it is. As we drive down the street and we see our neighbor's house and we see that it looks so much nicer than ours, or he has such a much nicer car than we have, are we to covet his home or are we to covet his car? No, we are not. It is forbidden. Are we to, does his, if you are a man, are you to covet after his wife? Are you to lust after his wife? No, that is also forbidden. If he has a servant, even down to having servants, we're not to covet after one's servants, whether it be a man or a woman, or his ox, and I've already mentioned, or his ass, it even mentions two animals. And then the final word is, which covers everything, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We're not to covet. Ephesians 5:5 says, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." So Paul very clearly says, and I made this statement in my prayer this morning, we are very quick to take God's promises to ourselves. But how quickly are we to recognize what the Scripture has to say in these warnings that are to us? Just as this. And it lists this covetous man with a whoremonger and an unclean person. And then it adds the covetous man. And it adds to the covetous man who is an idolater. So while one would think, well, I'm not an idolater. I don't set up little statues and worship statues. But if you're covetous, you are an idolater. So says the Scripture. And it says of that person that they have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. It is also one of the list of things that we are to mortify, as Paul goes on, as he instructs the Colossians in Colossians 3, verse 5. Mortify or slay, that means put to death these things. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness. Again, as Paul states, which is idolatry. That's twice he stated that. For which thing's sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. To be covetous is to be a child of disobedience. It is to be linked in with the children of disobedience. And so while one would think that covetousness is something of a much lesser degree here of sin, and yet it's linked in with fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and evil concupiscence. Look at how the wicked even boast of their covetousness and praise those who are also covetous. But what does the Lord say about such? And that's found in Psalm 10:3. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. So you have these that are not only covetous, but they actually boast about being covetous. And then they're not only covetous and they boast about it, but they praise others who are. But it doesn't end there. It's not a period, it's a comma. And the following statement is, whom the Lord abhorreth. The Lord abhors the covetous. And then, you know, it never ceases to amaze me how God's providence works. With the events that we've seen that have taken place this week in the financial world of our nation, listen to what Edward Irving wrote in 1828. Covetousness is the desire of possessing that which we have not, and attaining unto great riches and worldly possessions. And whether this be not the character of trade and merchandise and traffic of every kind, the great source of those evils of over-trading, which are everywhere complained of. I refer to the judgment of men around me who are engaged in the commerce and business of life. Compared with the regular and quiet diligence of our fathers and their contentment with small but sure returns, the wild and widespread speculation for great gains, the rash and hasty adventures which are daily made, and the desperate gamester-like risk which are run, do reveal full surely that a spirit of covetousness hath been poured out upon men within the last 30 or 40 years. And he was stating that in 1828. How much more is it today, and how much is that a true picture of what we've seen come to a head this week? Of those that are so covetous of money, 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 and power, power, power. Land, wealth, that which they do not have, oftentimes which only appear to be what they have when they do not have it at all. It is a desire to appear to be rich and to be wealthy. And what does our verse say about that? He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Excuse me. What a warning we have in Proverbs 28:22. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. And the key word here, and remember this because we're going to come back to it, is hasteth to be rich. He that hasteth to be rich. This warning goes hand in hand with what Luke tells us in Luke 12:15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Christ is here calling his people away from covetousness, that our minds might be purged from what Calvin calls a disease. The common view is that the man who possesses most has a happy life. People falsely believe this. And they falsely believe that riches are going to bring happiness. I really like what Edward Irving wrote when he was comparing the life of the covetous compared with that regular and quiet diligence of our fathers and their contentment with small but sure returns. In Ephesians 5, we are given three things that shouldn't even be named amongst his people. Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. It is not something light. It is not something small. It is not some casual sin. We've already read that it is the sin of idolatry. It's also mentioned even as a qualification of an elder in 1 Timothy 3:3. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, and lastly, not covetous. In 1 John 2:16, we are cautioned to beware of the lust of the eye. Abraham was rich, but Abraham was rich without haste. As I said in Proverbs 28:22, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. Abraham was rich without haste, but with God's blessing. Little did his brother Lot know and realize that in his haste to be rich, when he could have chosen either, and he looked across the valley and he saw the rich, fertile fields of Sodom, little did he realize that in his haste to be rich, it would only be a road that would lead to poverty. And so that's what we've seen happen in so many lives today, right here in our own nation. It might be said of the two, Abraham and Lot, that he who sought the world lost it, and he who was ready to lose it found it. And it is not just the rich that are prone to covetousness. Nor is it just the poor. And nor is the church exempt. There are no boundaries to covetousness. Jeremiah 6:13 says, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely." So it had invaded the church as well. From the very least to the very greatest, and even into the church. We have to be very careful. Just as what it says in Ezekiel, that this is not a description of ourselves as we come and sit under the preaching of the word week after week. Ezekiel 33:31 says, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." This is a very fearful verse, because it speaks of those that come and sit under the preaching of the word. "And they sit before me as my people," so the verse says, "and they hear my word, but they will not do them." Now, it's not because they don't say the right things, because for with their mouth they show much love, even love, but their heart. And God is the reader of the heart. "But with their heart goeth after their covetousness." May we not be guilty of coming and sitting under the preaching of the word and hearing the preaching of the word and then going forth and not having a willing and an obedient heart to obey the word of God. Especially when we say, "Yes, I believe that to be true. Yes, but I just can't do it. You know, I just can't bring myself to do it." Whatever it is. Even with our words, as we seek to show much love with our words, may it not be that our heart goeth after covetousness. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Proverbs. We thank you for the instruction out of your word. We pray, Lord, that we might heed the word of God. That we might, as it were, stop, listen very closely, look both ways, and proceed with caution. But Lord, if we proceed while knowingly being disobedient to the word of God, we proceed at our own peril. Lord, we pray that you would give us willing and obedient hearts, and that you would put far from us a covetous heart. We pray, Lord, that you would heal us of a covetous disease. Lord, if it was leprosy that was before us, if it was something that we could see, if it was something that we could see and dread the effects of that disease upon our own body, we would want nothing to do with it. We would run from it. We would want no part of the contamination in our life. But because it is something that is so much within, where we can hide it from others, it is even more dangerous. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us of a covetous heart and that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.